radical God we need to be radical people. He's not looking for people who are mute and just here to soak everything in, and we need to soak in, but we need to be so charged that we're ready to give out and give him the glory. He's worth shouting about. Amen. Amen. Father, I thank you that you are so real to us. Thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives and how he's changed us from the inside out. And Lord, I just say, by the power of your Holy Spirit, just minister to us this afternoon, that Lord, we may hear your word and respond in Jesus' name. Amen. A couple of weeks ago, I was just having a quiet time, and I read about the parable of the sower from Mark chapter 4. And if you would turn to Mark chapter 4 with me, and I just want to read the first 20 verses. This is from the Message, so it might not sound much like yours, but God's even able to use the Message, especially to me. Amen. Amen. It is. It's a bit weak in areas, but in some areas it packs a punch. Jesus went back to teaching by the sea. A crowd built up to such a great size that he had to get into an offshore boat, and using the boat as a pulpit as the people pushed to the water's edge. He taught by using stories, many stories. Listen, he said, what do you make of this? A farmer planted seed. As he scattered the seed, some of it fell on the road and the birds ate it. Some of it fell on the gravel. It sprouted quickly, but it didn't put down any roots. So when the sun came up, it withered just as quickly. Some fell in the weeds, and as it came up, it was strangled among the weeds and nothing came of it. Some fell on good earth, and it came up with a flourish, producing a harvest exceeding his wildest dreams. Are you listening to this? Are you really listening? I'm going to go down now to verse 14. He's giving the interpretation of what this parable is about. The farmer plants the word. Some people are like the seed that falls on the hardened soil of the road. No sooner do they hear the word than Satan snatches away what has been planted in them. Some are like the seed that lands in the gravel. When they first hear the word, oh, they respond with great enthusiasm. But there's such a shallow soil of character that when emotions wear off and some difficulty arrives, there's nothing to show for it. The seed cast in the weeds represents the ones who hear the kingdom news but are overwhelmed with worries about all the things that they have to do and all the things that they want to get, and the stress strangles what they heard and it comes to nothing. But the seed planted in the good earth represents those who hear the word, embrace it, and produce a harvest beyond their wildest dreams. Wow! How many of us want a harvest beyond our wildest dreams? Amen. I'm going for gold. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. And that's what God is looking for. Now, for you lads, you may not fully understand this, but I'm sure you'll identify with quite a few parts of it. The sower. Who's the sower? Jesus is the sower. He's sowing the seed. Now, they didn't have they didn't have machinery like they do in our days when this was written, to sow the fields. They had like a big pouch over their shoulder. I don't know if you've ever seen a picture. And the seed was all in this material pouch, and they would put their hand in and they would scatter the seed. And so it would go all over the field and up to the edge of the field where the soil was hard because people were treading on it constantly. And sometimes it was like falling on this stony path. And but he was always generous with his sowing because he knew that not all the seed would come up. So he sowed very liberally because he wanted a good and mighty harvest. And that's how we need to sow into the kingdom of God. Give it your everything. Give God your everything. He gave everything for you. And he says, I want that same commitment. That's how you'll prosper. The seed. The seed is the word of God. And I love this. This is your seed basket. This is full of seeds. Every promise that's in this Bible is a seed. And you can, when you open your Bible and you start to read it, you'll find that suddenly something jumps out at you, gets your attention. Well, take note and put a mark, a pencil mark around what that verse meant to you. And it will encourage you because that's the seed. And when things are going wrong, go back to that seed and say, God, you gave me this promise. This seed, I'm going to plant it in good soil and I'm going to see it grow and I'm going to see it bring the answer to my problem. That's what God wants to do. Because each seed contains a miracle. A seed is a miracle, isn't it? You know, Joan and I have often said it's strange how you plant seeds and you think, how on earth this seed looks dead. How is this going to produce anything? And sometimes the devil gets you feeling that way. How on earth is anything ever going to survive? How can this be real? How can this happen? I don't see anything that encourages me. No, we're not supposed to. It's by faith. You sow that seed by faith. Because it says on the packet, if you sow it and if you put it in the right conditions, you'll get a harvest. You'll get fruit. You'll get what you sowed and more. And so that's what we do. And this book is full of seeds, and these seeds are living seeds. And when you plant these seeds in your heart, those seeds grow and give the answer to what you need. It's provision, God's provision. And the soil, what's the soil? The soil is you and me, every one of us. How do we respond to what God is saying to us? And what condition is the soil of our hearts? And Jesus goes on to talk about four types of soil or four types of ground. The first one was the hardened soil, and I think it was pretty much like this. If I throw seeds on here, what's going to happen to them? They won't grow. They'll get trodden and squashed. The birds will come down and they'll have a feast. But it won't produce any harvest in the bird's stomach, will it? So, the hardened soil, eaten by the birds. And these people, the Bible tells us, Jesus said, these people are like, it's a case of, when I used to be in some lessons at school, I could see the teacher looking at me as if to say, it's going in one ear and out the other. She's not grasped it. You know what I'm saying? Or sometimes I wasn't listening. My eyes were all over the place. My mind was a mess. I was thinking about anything but what the teacher was telling me. And it didn't do me any good, if that's any help to you. Listen when your teacher's speaking to you, because it's for your benefit. And this, we had a friend, and she was a real laugh, wasn't she, Joy? And she used to have a pair of earrings, and it said, in on this ear and out on this ear. She was a very clever kid, so it obviously wasn't what she did, but she thought that was highly amusing. And it is, and that describes the people who are the hardened soil. They're hearing the word, but they're not listening. It's going straight in and straight out. And the next type of soil was the gravel. The gravel is very shallow. When it gets to next month and we're into gardening season, there's a shallow border around our bungalow and it's full of gravel and the weeds. And when the self-plants, when the birds try to drop the seeds, or they do drop the seeds and it drops into this gravel, they are the easiest pickings in the garden. Yeah? Go straight to it and gone. There's no root, is there? There's a bit of soil. They put down a scotty little root, don't they, that is so weak but it takes no effort whatsoever to pull it out. And Jesus said these type of Christians who hear the word are like, they're very enthusiastic about it. Whoa, yes, I like this. But it never gets into the heart. It's all about emotions. Have you ever felt emotional about anything? I have. I hear something that really fires me up and I'm shouting and whooping. But it's not all in the shouting and whooping, you know. Where it gets established is when it gets into your heart. And we can't live at this froth level, at this emotional level. You know, sometimes you can go into church and the music's belting out and the flashing lights are there and all the emotion, all the atmosphere is there. And you think, yes, I can live this way, I can do this. And then you get to school and your friends say, you don't believe that rubbish, do you? Whoop, gone. Lost. Because the flashing lights weren't there and the loud music wasn't there. So the emotion wasn't there and the feeling is lost. And they've no character. They're not able. They've no roots. They're not able to withstand opposition and difficulties, and so they forget it and they walk away. There's no commitment. It's a fad. It's the in thing to do. My friends are doing it, so I'm doing it. But they've no real experience for themselves. And that's the soil. That's the gravel. The third type of soil is the one where there are weeds. And these people get strangled by the weeds. And I've got to say that I think a lot of the church is in this category. The weeds come and our seed goes into where the ground has not been easily prepared, and quickly the devil starts bringing difficult circumstances. We're under pressure to provide for our families, take our responsibilities. We're under pressure from the culture. All the kids are doing this. Everybody's got to have the latest fashion, the games consoles, the designer gear, the houses for the older people, the cars. And it's a vicious circle. We've got a job, but we want a better job. We want more money because we want more things, because our kids are growing up and they're becoming more demanding, and to go through university, and we have to provide, and it's all our responsibility. And so we go on and on and on. But you know, the goalposts are forever moving. You can never catch up with it. You're always running for it. You're always striving. It's a great effort to do it. We work long hours, we get worn out, we begin to struggle not only physically and financially, but emotionally and spiritually. And suddenly, it's really difficult to keep your head above water. The devil has come in and is pressurizing us from all angles. And when you've no time for God, that's when it's very, very dangerous. And you're on the wrong ground. I want to be at church, but I can't be at church. My job won't let me go to church. And God is saying, I'm your resource. I'm your source of supply. What do you want? What have we done today? We've patience prayed. God answered her. She asked of God. He gave her the desire of her heart. God wants to give you the desires of your heart. Don't live with the circumstances. Don't let circumstances strangle the word of God within you. We're back to that scripture that God has given us over many, many years. Matthew 6, verse 33. Seek ye first the King of the Kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. God knows how much money you need. He knows what provisions are needed in your family. He knows everything about you. And he said, seek me and I'll sort the rest. Okay? That's a godly principle. And if we put God first, and I can truly say our lifestyle under as a man of being, God, you're first. I'll give you my time. I'll give you my money. I will be there. And Father, if there's something that's getting in the way of me putting you first, then I'm going to ask you to remove that stumbling block, remove that barrier, because you have to be first in everything. Because then I'm going to be blessed, and I'm going to fulfill my wildest dreams. I'm going to be where you want me to be. The devil is a master at getting you running around and doing stuff that God never intended you to do. He wants you so busy that you've no time for God. He wants to frustrate you. He wants to wear you out. He wants to get you sick. He'll do everything in his power to get you striving and instead of resting. God says, rest in me. Trust me. And if you've got a situation that you can't resolve, then I'll tell you the answer. Seek God first. Give it to him. And he will supply the need. Put him first in everything, and he'll sort out. There is no situation in your life that is bigger than God, is there? There's none in mine that's bigger than God. And it's his desire to give me good things and to bless me, to do me good. He wants me to prosper. Because I'm blessed, I'm not cursed. Amen? I'm not under the curse. Jesus became a curse that I might receive the blessings of God. And I want to walk in those blessings. And God says, I'm greater than your circumstances. But so many of us are living under the circumstances. I can't do this because I have to do that. And God's saying, that's not right. I'm first. I'll sort the rest out. I promise, and I will do it. And as we said to patients, the Lord will perfect that which concerns me. He knows everything about you. You know, Psalm 139 says, he knows a word before you speak it. Ouch. He knows what you're going to say. He knows what you're thinking about. He knows where you're going to go next. He knows what you're going to do. He's way ahead of the game. And he's ordered our footsteps, and they're good footsteps. They're blessed footsteps. And I don't want to hinder that. I want to go with God and have everything that he's got for me. The seed that fell on the good ground, it flourished, and it produced a harvest beyond his wildest dreams. Wow, why did it produce a harvest beyond his wildest dreams? Because he embraced what he heard. In other words, it went right into his heart. And when something goes right into your heart, that's where it takes root. That's where it grows. That's where what's in here affects what's in here. Andrew always used to say, listen to the fella in the cellar, not the fanatic in the attic. Okay? The fanatic in the attic will drive you crazy. And you know, when you've given something to God, at night time when you're going to sleep, this fanatic starts working it out, and it starts saying, it's not going to happen, you know. It's all a load of rubbish. And then you have to fight through. But I found the best thing to do, an old bishop, a friend of ours, said to me, Grace, just quote the word of God. Get your seed back. Tell him what God says. Hit him with it. It's alive, and it'll knock him to six. And that's what I do at night when the devil says get the word of God and hit him straight between the eyes with it, and you won't have to do anything else than turn over and say, that's as much as I care what you've got to say. It is written, God says, it is written. This is the greatest, the mightiest force in the universe. Okay, don't ever forget that. When you put that word and you say to the devil, listen to this, he's off. He don't want to listen. So it was a heart response. And because it was a heart response, it brought forth a mighty harvest. It said it was beyond his wildest dreams. You know, when you dream about something, it's something that you really want. Yes? You know, when I was a kid, I used to dream about having pretty dresses. That's a girl, isn't it? Yeah, yeah, we've got to have the pretty dresses, look cute, have the latest fashion in shoes, and your hair's got to be right, everything's got to be perfect. That's... Now boys are like that, yeah. That's so true. In my generation, the boys, it was like, have you had a wash? Have you washed behind your ears? Come here. Let me scrub your neck. Yeah, our mums were always watching out for the boys, weren't they? And the girls just dreamed about this prince coming and taking them off like Robin Hood and Maid Marian. You know, they were just beautiful stories. And that's the girl. To dream is a desire. You dream because of your desires. And the desire is seven times stronger than your will. So if you really take something to heart and you desire it, there's no effort in it. You're just passionate about it. It fills your mind. You just want to be full and you just want to see the result of that dream come true. You know, Joseph was a dreamer, wasn't he? And his dreams took him on a rather rugged path, but eventually Joseph became the prime minister of the whole of Egypt. Have you ever seen that Technicolor dream coat? Yeah, really good. Joseph became the prime minister of all Egypt, and Egypt was some big nation at that time. God promoted him because he loved God and he dreamed, and God fulfilled his dreams. There was no striving. He just flowed with God. And so to see this harvest beyond our wildest dreams, it's a matter of sticking with it no matter what. That's what God's looking for. There will be good days, there will be bad days, there'll be challenging days. There'll be days when you want to shout the roof off because you've had a victory. But it's all about sticking with it no matter what. And when it's in your heart, you will stick with it no matter what. That's why you've got to get the seed into your heart. And this is why the Word of God, you need to read it regularly every day and just say, God, speak to me. Speak to me. And when you've got a problem, then go to God and say, God, give me the answer. And just give it to God and walk away. And when the devil comes, just don't entertain his thoughts. It is written. Now, I believe God is looking for, and he will have, a generation that walks by faith and not by sight. That's what God's calling us to do. It's not about your circumstances. It's not what you see. It's what God says. Faith says. It sees the invisible. And it's tangible faith because it knows in its heart that it knows that it knows that it knows that it, the answer's on the way, and it will get the desires. And that's what takes us through. I believe God's looking for a miracle generation where God's truth is king over circumstances. I want to be part of that generation. I am not too old. Amen? Amen? Are we going to be part of that generation where truth is king over circumstances? Are we going to dare to dream big and stick with it? I certainly am. I'm going for everything God's got. I'm going for gold. Amen? And when these Olympians are going for gold, it's not like they don't sit at home chewing Mars bars and eating junk food, do they? They're out there. Training, going for it, putting hours and hours in, enjoying it because they've got a goal and they're going for it. And that's what God wants us to be doing. Going for it, not couch potatoes. God wants us to be passionate. And I love it when the worship today was passionate, because we're calling on a passionate God. He's as passionate about you as you are about him. More so, I would say. But God wants this miracle generation. And God said to me, I just want you to share this with the people then. And Grace, I want you to ask the people, where are they of these four types of soil? I think the category three is a big category. Category two can be so sometimes full of enthusiasm and emotions, but emotions and enthusiasm won't take you through to being king over your circumstances. And the weeds, we struggle quite a lot with issues and stuff that the devil's thrown at us, and we still, there's areas I know God is challenging me even this week. Come on, Grace, I'm bigger than this. Trust me. Let's walk forward. Let's not be looking at circumstances. Give it to me and I'll sort it. I'll smash it down. Amen. God says we are the healed. Well, my body doesn't feel like it. Well, that doesn't alter what God says. Okay? If God says you're healed, you're healed. Amen. So, are you living at the level God wants for you? Challenge? Do we need to make a leap of faith? Do we need to get off our butts and move a bit? Do we need to do a bit of running and, you know, exercise and gym stuff? I prefer to clean the house, but yeah, it's all exercise. So, are you living at God's level? And I think that the church, I don't know many people who are living at God's level. I don't know many people who are living where it's flourishing in every area and they don't have a care in the world and there's no circumstances against them. I think we've got to be real. But God is wanting us to say, come on higher. Come on higher. There's better things. I've got better things for you, greater things. Don't limit me by what you see. I'm greater than what you see. I'm beyond your wildest dreams, girl. Come on, walk with me, walk with me. And see me work. So where do you want to be? I want to be walking in the abundance. I want to be walking in that miracle generation where truth is king. And I just want to put a challenge out to you this afternoon. If there are areas in your life where you know that, God, I need to surrender this to you because I want to achieve what you've got for me, because believe you me, the plans God has for you are beyond your wildest dreams. You won't fulfill them, you can't, but God can. And he says, follow me, walk with me. I'll fulfill your dreams. I'll make you where I intend you to be. I've got a job for you that nobody else can take. I've got a place for you that nobody else can have. God is there for us in every situation, and he wants us to trust him all the way. And if you feel that you can move higher, and I believe God is saying to us today, let's, for those of us who want to move higher, and I'm in here, there are things that I need to be reaching for, not striving for, but believing for. And if there are things that you feel the same, I want you to just stand where you are, and I want you to just give it to God. And say to God, God, I'm not there yet, but I'm willing to stand and I'm willing to be part of that miracle generation. I want to be. My desire is to go where you want me to be, to do what you want me to do, to achieve what you want me to achieve. Not by striving, but by trusting you and giving it over to you and putting you first. And from that, I know that everything will flow out of that, because I will then reach my wildest dreams, and I'll be blessed beyond my wildest dreams. And so if that's you, then stand with me where you are and let's throw it on God. Just throw it on God. Give him every obstacle, give him every hindrance, and say, God, you know my heart. You know I want to be part of that miracle generation. And I trust you to do it in my life. And I want you to say it in your own words, because then it will be very meaningful to you and you will have understood what God is asking of you. So let's do it now. Let's just give it to God and trust him and let him do what he wants to do to take us to that next step. Thank you.